Have a seat. Arguably, today, the most endearing aspects of the Epiphany story are all the mysterious things. There are several key points here, and they serve an important purpose. There's not much in this story that offers us any historical traction, so if you're looking for corroboration with historical records, you're not going to find very much at all. And I think that's by design. Matthew starts our new year off by inviting us to sink into the Jesus story, stepping off from the hard facts and using our curiosity and imagination to get to know Jesus and his purpose for joining us here on earth for a time. The first thing Matthew tells us is that during the period of King Herod's rule in the region, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He sets the stage with something we can corroborate if we want to. But after that, we're on our own. And that's when the good stuff happens. Matthew transitions to the really interesting, mysterious features of our story. Things that light up parts of our brain. Things we can't corroborate with records, but we don't care because it's so compelling. Matthew says, "Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." And from that point on, it's all the effect of the incarnation. Jesus' arrival may have a specific time and place, but there's so much more to God's incarnation than simply facts, footnotes, and evidence. The story of Jesus is a gift wrapped up in the delight of the soul and topped with the bow of transformation. We have some wise men. How many? I don't know. Do you? We know not from the historical record, not from the Bible, but from a song that someone felt compelled to write because they were so inspired by this story. The text doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. This is our first glimmer into what makes this story so interesting. We think there might be three. The three wise men, the three magi. But consider this. If they're coming from such a faraway place, and they're kings, don't you think they'd have an entourage? Don't you think it would take a lot of people to make a successful overland journey? More than three guys with some camels and a box full of gold exposed for everyone to see? There are three of them. And there are three gifts, which means that they all have something and no one shows up empty-handed. So that's good. It might also be a Trinitarian theology that we're being invited to consider from a very early stage in Matthew's gospel. Also, with just three, we don't have a cast of thousands all hanging about while Mary is trying to put a newborn to sleep. Parents, am I right? The gifts are impractical. Ask any new parent if these were great gifts, and they'd be like, why not diapers, maybe a blanket, some formula? And then you get new moms get pretty hot about these three gifts. But they're foreshadowing gifts. Suddenly they have the cash reserves to make their escape into Egypt later on in the story. And they have these embalming spices for a later part of the story. We won't get to that yet. This foreshadowing. The gifts aren't just gifts. There's something more. If you use your imagination, you get more from these gifts. We call these wise men magi sometimes. You know who the magi are? We think that they are actually Zoroastrian priests, people who study things like astrology and astronomy. It's exotic. Matthew calls these magi. We think about these people in terms of magi. They're from some faraway place. There's something different about them. They're not part of the record of Israel, who has heard through the words of the prophets that this thing was going to happen, but somehow they knew mysteriously. Kind of makes you go, oh, wow, who are these strange people? But they're not from here. They're from far away, which means the incarnation of God has a global impact. It means more to the world than just the people of Israel, just to the land of Judah, just to this particular place and time. There are people that have nothing to do with the story of Israel that somehow have an interest in what's happening today. There's a star that features in this story. The stars have always brought about imagination, wonderment. Think of all the names of the constellations and the stories that they convey. The star, for us, here in this text, tells us that there's a cosmic shift. The cosmos itself is declaring that something significant is happening. It's more important to just Israel, to just the planet. It's important to the galaxy and the movement of the planets around the sun and the shifting and expanding of the cosmos. And in cosmic terms, as we know from physicists today, 2,000 years is not enough time to make a significant change in the shape of the universe. And so the stars that we look at today are probably the same stars they saw 2,000 years ago. The same light that fell upon them and inspired their imaginations falls upon us and our imaginations. In response to this vague indicator, wise men, whatever that might mean, we've composed this really lovely song that amplifies the mysteriousness of this moment. These visitors signal to us that something outside of our experience is taking place. They're not kings, but they are as important as royalty. We don't know what qualifies them to be considered wise, but they certainly know something that we don't, and it's important. They're from the Orient, which is a far away, really exotic place that's somehow magical and mysterious and beyond our reach. And the fact that representatives from this place have come to our doorstep must mean there's something truly special happening. And there is. Hundreds of years later, people continued to wonder about these strange visitors, so much so that they came up with names for them. Do you know their names? Off the top of your head? Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. What a great set of names. I wish people had those names today. Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. I feel like we should be pairing these three names with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who also had communication with an angel who shows them how to escape a murderous intention of a king. I heard a hmm. Did that catch your imagination? Does that inspire your curiosity? Good. These names, though, are not any more accurate to Matthew's telling of the nativity story than the little drummer boy. Accuracy is not the point. The point is that people were so taken up by the incarnation of God that they delved way into the story to amplify the mystery and the beauty. They brought their own creativity to something that God was doing. Why do we do these things? Why do we read so deeply into these texts and come up with stories that aren't actually accurate to the text, not actually accurate to historical data? But we do it anyways. What benefit is there to us in adding myth and embellishment to these texts that we read? Is God's word not good enough? God's word is good enough. It's so good enough that we're inspired to jump in and talk with God about it. We do it because we want to love these stories even more. We do it because the miraculousness of the Christ child is an uplifting contrast to the cruelty and the meanness of our own world. Our souls desire hope. We desire to delight in God and with God, but the weight of the world has a way of thwarting our efforts. But sometimes we get an open door to dive into the human-divine relationship, and it is to us as a balm in Gilead. The actual, factual King Herod was truly a bad leader. He was fearful, weak, and violent. His hold on power was tenuous at best and subject to the whims of even more powerful leaders. Against this backdrop, adding more shine and delight to the nativity, it shines more light and more brightness and more hope into a dark and inspiring world when we seek the beauty and the mystery and the dazzle that is the cosmic divine creator of all things. We already know the dark places in the world, the suffering and the hopelessness. What our souls cry out for is hope, kindness, justice, and the triumph of deep goodness for all. Ultimately, this is what Matthew is getting at in these verses that don't sync up with historical records and archaeological data. There are some things more important than factual information. Openings for our imagination to connect with the divine carry us further into the possibilities of what we and God can do together to bring about the triumph of deep goodness in the world for all. The story of the Magi, or whoever they were, is important because it inspired so many ways to think about how these first days of Jesus' life have impacted the world around him and us then and today and for our children's children. We can ask the critical questions about factual certainty and remain unsatisfied with the ambiguity that's baked in, or we can play along with God through Matthew's story. There's a cosmic alignment with God's incarnation. There's global investment in the fact that Jesus walked among us. There's personal awe that we too can connect with the God of divine goodness through the stories of Jesus and our own personal encounter with him. It culminates in lives that are changed for the better. This is the story of the first encounter with Jesus. What happens when we encounter Jesus? When we show up on Jesus' doorstep like the Magi, or maybe when Jesus shows up on our doorstep like the Word of God? What gifts might we bring that would properly honor the Savior of the world? Is it gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Is it diapers, formula, and a nice blanket? Is it our imagination, our creativity, and our wonder? When you find yourself standing before Jesus, and you know it still happens today in mysterious ways, in what ways would you like to be changed for the better? Imagine, if you will, imagine yourself approaching the incarnation of God, the person of Jesus. Imagine yourself stepping up to this person and you bring something that you hand to him. What would you like that to be? And think about what you would like to receive back. Because our relationship with God is not transactional, it's relational. There's always a give and take. These wise men brought something to give to Jesus, and he gave them something back. What does your heart cry out for? What does your soul desire? Perhaps the better question is not what would you like to give to Jesus as a gift, but are you ready for your life to be changed for the better when you encounter Jesus? Are you ready for your life to be changed for the better, even if you have no idea what that's going to look like? Maybe creativity and imagination are partnered with courage and bravery. I think the most important line in the passage for us today is the last one. After their encounter with the Messiah, the wise men departed by a different road. These are thoughtful travelers who planned their route carefully. Now, with no time to plan whatsoever, they do something suddenly very different, a route that they did not plan to take, through areas that they have never seen or encountered before. They are setting course into the unknown on a different way. They were changed by their encounter in such a way that these visitors reflected the beautiful, powerful light in the world of Jesus. This is why Jesus frightens Herod. This is why the angel said, "Don't go back to Herod, because now you're dangerous to him. Now you represent light, truth, beauty, sacredness, hope, and the truest goodness." We see the results of the light of Christ in the world, and we see the result of the light of Christ reflected by others who encounter Christ. The result of this light is in the reaction of the dark, fearful, weak, and violent cruelty embodied by Herod. Because the visitors are different people now, they do different things. They take a different path in life, one they hadn't planned on taking, and it has made all the difference. Think about a time when you encountered Jesus in the course of your life. What different road did you find yourself on because you encountered Jesus? The Epiphany story is designed to engage our imaginations. It's meant for us to think about the presence of God in the world differently. It's meant to invite us to play and to imagine and to recognize the power of creativity and imagination. It invites us to step away from the hardness of the world to a place where we can grow and become God's people who share the light of life and hope and joy. The divine creator of all things makes a space for us to create with God in the scripture stories. And as we make our way into the new year, in a new gospel writer, let's be on the lookout for these open doors and be brave and courageous to walk through them. Take the unexpected roads. Play with these stories and see how they reveal a more hopeful world for you, within you, and with you for the benefit of all. Like the wise men we read about today, bring your gifts of curiosity, creativity, and delight, and see what hope, joy, and inspiration you receive back for your journey down a new way. That's the good news.